理课堂听 class.com
Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Welcome to today's discussion as we have the final lesson on saving the music tree. This is our last lesson about this interesting part of the world, and it's not just about Brazil or about the music tree. It's really an article about a special kind of wood that comes from Brazil. Most of the time we've been talking about how this wood is used in Europe. So stay tuned as we talk about more about the tree, where it comes from, and how it's endangered. Ethan, would you say that we could learn a lot from this three-day lesson?
Oh, I definitely think we can. We are learning as the world gets older that it is very important to conserve natural resources, not only because we may want them for making bows or making other instruments, but also because they are important to the overall ecology of the planet.
And I think we're going to find out as we read today that some of the other things that are in the rainforest are used for medicine. In fact, a lot of the medicines come from the rainforest in the world. And Esther, I think you probably learned a lot, too, from going on through this lesson with us.
That's right. Before I came to read this article, I've never heard about the Pernambuco tree. And now I know that it's used for making high-quality bows.
You know, next time you see some violin player playing in a symphony, it's a friend of yours, you can go up to you and say, oh, is this made out of what?
Brazil wood or?
How do you say it?
Pernambuco.
Oh, see, you got it right. Pernambuco, okay. And they will look at you and say, I don't know. And you say, well, we just studied about that in advance. Advertise for advance. How about that? But we can learn a lot in advance, can't we?
Yes.
You learn check about the websites yourself. We have some websites here for you to check and get interested in a subject. And that's the way to learn, is being interested in a subject. Then we learn while we're looking up things about it.
Well, definitely. And I think also, if you want, you can drop by our English Corner for Advanced at the Studio Classroom website, and you can talk about this issue, and I'm sure there will be people there who are willing to talk about it with you if it's something you're interested in.
Well, in fact, if some of you happen to have one of these bows, you can tell us about it on the English Corner. We'll all be glad to know, won't we?
Oh, definitely. We always welcome new students and new people to come and tell us what they have.
So this is a good article for musicians in general to know about, but it's also good for everybody because we're talking about resources that belong to the whole world, that affect things around the world. And how does this Pernambuco tree affect the whole world?
Well, this tree is becoming endangered, so a lot of people, they're trying to use different ways to raise funds to conserve this tree.
And it affects the whole world because it gives us the kind of music that we get from violins and cellos and basses, doesn't it?
Well, yes. And so in some ways it is very important because to the people who are very professional in the music industry, they really want this high-level, high-quality bow.
That's right. And you can see why when you hear some of this beautiful music from violins. It just helps you to realize that just doesn't come from any kind of wood. It has to be special wood. And this wood grows in the rainforest. So today, as we look at our last page of our lesson, what page are we starting on today?
We're starting on page 11.
Okay. And we're going to read page 11 or page... Yeah, page 11. We're going to do the difficulties, right. We're going to finish that, go over to page 12. And there are some problems with this pau Brazil, or as it is known as Brazil wood, or?
Pernambuco.
See, he's got it down good. All right, let's read about that today. So we're going to read the rest of this page first.
Difficulties with pau Brazil. The wood does have its drawbacks. It can be thorny and twisted, and is often too light for the manufacture of good bows. Only a portion of even the best Pernambuco tree is suitable for fine bows, and woodcutters in the forests, heedless of conservation and unschooled in craftsmen's needs, have been known to cut down tree after tree before finding one containing suitable wood.
It's the first difficulty here.
Well, the wood does have its drawbacks, and a drawback is something that is a disadvantage or a negative part of a situation, and that is that it can be thorny, twisted, and it is often too light to manufacture good bows.
So it's not always growing like some great big tree would be. Like you talked about the oak tree. Those are usually huge trees. You can cut down one and get so much out of it. But these trees are not really like that. They're not quite as sturdy in that sense. They're heavy. They're very dense. But they're sometimes thorny and they're sometimes twisted.
That's right. And you can imagine if you were someone trying to harvest this wood, you might prick your finger. Or it might be hard to find a piece of wood that's long enough to make a bow. And people who are not very experienced in finding this wood sometimes chop down a lot of these trees before they find the suitable one.
So they keep chopping it down, but it's not the right kind, which is really too bad. I'd be a little more afraid of the snakes that might be going around in the ground in the forest. What about you?
Me too.
In the jungle?
Well, it is definitely something they have to be careful of, but I think it's also sad that people are going through and they're just cutting down trees at random. That I think one of the things we need to start thinking about is how can we educate people to cut down only what is needed?
That's true, because these people, they don't pay any attention to this conservation part, and they are unschooled in the craftsman's needs. It means that they are illiterate, or they do not know what is needed. So they think, well, I can probably sell this, and they find out they can't. Then it's too bad. Then it becomes waste, and we cannot waste these resources. How long does it take to grow another tree like that?
Well, it takes 30 years, as we've talked about in the last 2 days, and that's quite a long time to replenish. I also wanted to bring up the word heedless, and we talk about they're heedless of conservation, and that just means that they are not aware of it or they don't really think about it when they're doing something.
And they're unschooled in a craftsman's needs, so if they're unschooled, they've never been educated about it.
They don't have the knowledge that they need, right? School is supposed to give us knowledge, so if you're unschooled about it, means that you don't have the knowledge about it. So I suppose the people that want people, woodcutters, to go out, get this, should give them, you know, little pictures or here's a rope, we want something this long or whatever it is. They have to know how long they can have it. But they'll think, oh, well, I'll just cut this down and see. And that's giving us a lot of waste, isn't it?
Well, it is. And so as we see in the next paragraph of our article, that they are making movements to try and educate people and let them know and help to conserve this Pernambuco tree.
Well, let's look now at page 12, and let's read the whole first column.
A grand mission. In response, bow makers from around the world have mobilized, starting an organization called the International Pernambuco Conservation Initiative, IPCI, with the mission of rescuing the species. In 2001, IPCI began digging wells and installing irrigation systems to help save 100,000 Pernambuco seedlings threatened by drought. With the Center for Cacao Research, they began to shape a program that will culminate in the replanting of Pau Brasil in cacao habitats. Cacao is a shade-loving plant. By coupling a Pernambuco overstory with the welfare of the cacao crop beneath it, the center's botanists hope to provide farmers with an economic incentive for growing the trees.
So a grand mission means a good cause, doesn't it?
Definitely. The word grand implies that it's a very noble thing to do, or it is a very important thing to do.
So many people make bows, not a lot of people compared to other industries, but there are people who make bows. If you look on the web, you'll see so many people who make bows, and they charge a certain amount, sometimes, what, $3,000 for one?
Or more, and there are lots of different types of bows, so if you play the violin or are interested in playing, you can check out different types of bows you want to use.
Naturally, they have cheaper ones for students and for children to learn on. But when you come to the place where you're a good violinist, you need a good bow. And people will often test each other's bows, and they'll say, oh, what a nice bow. I'm a trumpet player, and we always go around checking each other's mouthpieces. And I'll find a trumpet mouthpiece can cost any place from $30 up to $300 or $400. That looks about the same, but some of them are supposed to be engineered differently, easier to blow, helps you get high notes. So everybody talks about what kind of mouthpiece do you use, what brand, what name, and they go into mouthpieces. You meet a violinist, what do they talk about?
They talk about the bow.
Right. Cellist or somebody like that. So these are just different words that people use in their trade. But the wood itself is very important, and it's grown in this place in Brazil that's named for that province or that state called Pernambuco, isn't it? Pernambuco. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So now the bow makers around the world have gotten together, and we're going to have this international movement. And say the name again?
The Pernambuco. So it's the International Pernambuco Conservation Initiative.
Wow, he did a very good job with that. Give him a hand on Bravo. Huh?
And for those that are interested, you can just type this in the internet, and they have a large web page, and you can donate online. There's lots of information about these trees.
They do online, huh?
Yes, and we have a link for it right down below. If you look down just a few lines, you can see the IPCI website.
So in the year 2001, they began digging wells. And why were they digging wells? What has that got to do with this?
They were digging wells and installing irrigation systems, and they were trying to help provide water for these Pernambuco trees that they are trying to now grow to provide for this industry.
Because they had a lack of rain. For a while, there was a drought. Drought means there's no rain. There were 100,000 little baby trees, seedlings, just very small, and they needed rain. And so they were digging wells and finding ways to let the water go by, irrigating them.
I want to jump back a little bit and talk about these musicians and the bow makers together have banded together, we talked about in the first day, and that means they've gotten together to work for something. And we also use the term mobilized, and that means to gather a bunch of resources together so that you can work for a cause.
Right.
And so they are working for this cause, and we are seeing the results in the wells and the irrigation.
Right. This group got together, and they said, let's help, because they don't have enough water in that area right now. So we'll dig some wells. We'll get the water over there to them and irrigate. And this is a process of having water go around. Rice paddies have to have that. They irrigate all the time, put the water on for the rice. The farmers are quite, you know, used to these terms. We don't use it as much anymore because there's not as many farmers as there used to be.
Yes, and the mission of these people is to rescue the species. So hopefully with irrigation systems in place, these trees will get enough water.
So these people are really worried about these Pernambuco trees, but they're also worrying about the cacao, which is really cocoa beans, right?
Yes, the cacao plant is used in the making of cocoa. And we see later, if we look down just a little bit in line 12 or 13, it says it is a shade-loving plant. And so what they're hoping to do is they're hoping to have farmers plant these cacao plants underneath Pernambuco so that they will get the shade they need, and also they will be raising Pernambuco.
In Chinese, you'd say 一句两, that one thing has two different uses, right?
In English, sometimes we say you can kill two birds with a stone.
Right. I kind of like 一句两的, to receive better than killing two birds with one stone. But the idea is the same, isn't it?
It's right. To accomplish two tasks by only doing one thing.
So if the farmers can make money by growing these trees, it takes them a long time to grow, and they need to get regular money, and 30 years before they can cut them down. So they need other crops. So why not have cocoa beans grown under the shade of this? And you can harvest these cocoa beans, sell them, and everybody likes chocolate, right?
Well, yes, and it is in high demand, and so this is a major industry. And so they think that by coupling it with the cacao plant and the Pernambuco, you can actually save both.
Well, this cacao plant is interesting because it's a shade-loving plant. Now, a lot of plants like the sun. But this one, too much sun kills it. It likes the shade.
That's right. And if you do have this plant, it's also a cash crop. So a lot of people can make money and support their economy through this. And hopefully they'll want to plant these Pernambuco plants over these cacao plants.
So that's a way they can do this. They can have these two things growing on the same soil, but the one they can harvest regularly, every year probably.
Yes, and so if this goes through, I think it will be a great thing because the cacao plants will be getting what they need, but also bow makers will in the future be able to have the Pernambuco trees to use for bows.
And so the center of botanists, and botanists are people who study plant life, right, study plants, they hope to give farmers a very strong reason, an economic incentive.
An incentive is something someone gives you so you want to do something. So by giving them economic incentive of growing these trees, they're saying that if you grow these trees, then you can also grow these cacao plants and this will help you make money.
This is a very, very good word. I hear it used quite often in the business world. People will say, well, if you give your employees some incentives, they will work harder for you. And it just means that if you give them some reason to work for you, maybe a reward or a way of congratulating them, then they will want to work harder, and we would call that an incentive.
Right. One incentive would be just to keep your job. If you don't work hard, you might not keep it. Another incentive would be to get your salary. But a good economic incentive would be if you could make more money or do something more with your money. So this gives them a really strong incentive because if they grow these trees, they say, yes, someday we'll make a lot of money. It takes too long. But in the meantime, you can keep getting your regular money by these cocoa beans. It's a good idea.
Yes, and it might also involve some government grants. I know that in conservation now they're moving to, if you plant so many trees, sometimes they'll give you a government grant to plant more trees. And so it depends on what the issue is with this Pernambuco.
And a lot of people, they have to plant cacao plants anyways since it's their cash crop. So why not plant these plants as well too?
Right. Why not have them both in the same soil, which is a very good idea because you have to keep them from having too much sun on them. So what's a better way to do it than to plant them under these other trees? It's a very clever idea, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. And I think as the future comes on, we will see that this is something that is used.
So let's finish the article by reading the last column now on page 12.
Sounding an alarm. Back in the forest, José Roberto de Melo cuts off a large stalk of palmetto. This is an instrument too, he says, one the aboriginals use to communicate over long distances. He hits the stalk with his machete. A deep, hollow note booms a message through the forest. Warning, he translates. The profound interconnection between a musical tool, a plant, an ecology, an economy, a society, and its history is a sober lesson in conservation. In response, bow makers are sounding an alarm. The future of a high art rests on the future of an endangered Brazilian tree.
So our last part of our article here on page 12 is talking about sounding an alarm. And we're going to find out that has double meaning as we go on, aren't we?
Yes, definitely. Sounding an alarm. Sometimes we will say if you sound the alarm, you let people know about something, something especially like our topic today in which there is conservation.
And we do hope this will send an alarm to you that you'll realize that we do have to take care of the things that we have. Maybe it doesn't affect you, but it will affect you eventually. In fact, even these cacao or cocoa beans, they still need some protection over them. So maybe you're interested in that just as much as the other. But it's sounding alarm to be careful with what we have and use it well and not waste it, right? Now, it says here that back in the forest, here we are again with this José Roberto de Melo, and he cuts off a large stalk of what?
He cuts off a stalk of the palmetto tree. And a stalk is just a large piece. We often say a stalk of weed.
Sugar cane.
Or sugar cane, and it's like a stick from the plant.
Yeah, and this type of tree is a small palm tree, so maybe you've seen it before, and the leaves are shaped like plants. They also make vitamins from this.
Right.
Palmetto.
They do make vitamins from that. In fact, a lot of the things that grow in the rainforest, we use them in all kinds of medicine plants. Without the rainforest, I don't think we'd have a lot of our modern medicines.
Oh, we definitely don't. But what I found interesting was that this plant, too, is also used in instruments.
Right. And how is it used?
Well, I found out it's actually an instrument in itself. And so what this Jose did is he cut off a piece and then he hit it with his machete and it made this deep booming sound.
So they use that too. So that's where it says sounding an alarm. You can use this part of this plant to make a noise, like the Indians used to beat the drums and so forth. Well, they can beat on this wood and it makes a noise too. That's what it tells us here, doesn't it? You can communicate over long distances. How do they do that?
Well, I assume that when they hit this piece of wood, it makes a low booming sound that resonates, we would say. We talked about in the syllable article last month that a sound resonates and it carries over a longer distance.
Well, I think it makes kind of a hollow note. So evidently this tree is kind of like bamboo or palms or something. It's inside of it is not solid. So when you hit it, it makes a loud booming noise.
Yes, and so it makes this note and then he says, warning is what this note means.
Right. And that is a warning because if we're not careful and we cut down too many of these other trees and we don't replace them, why would we be cutting down all these trees anyway? Is it only just to make bows?
Well, people like to cut down these trees because they want to plant other trees that grow a lot faster and they can harvest to use and sell.
Also, the rainforest, we say, is being encroached upon, or people are taking it away and cutting it down so that they can build new cities and factories. And so we call it deforestation, or they are taking away the forests.
I think that's one of the biggest problems, that there's more and more people, and they're going out into these areas to build factories, to do things outside of the big cities, because the big cities are very expensive. And so pretty soon, they cut down some of the natural things. And so that's deforestation, as you say, and it's also, you know, taking away the place for the wildlife, for the animals that live there. And sometimes we have a lot of mudslides like here in Taiwan because we've cut down too many trees on the hills. So it affects everything we do when we destroy nature to a big extent.
Definitely. And so I think as we talk about conservation articles in general, we need to also be reminded that we need to take care of the world and the planet just because it is something that is important to the overall ecology or the overall welfare of the world.
So if somebody hitting on this thing, gong, 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 and say there's danger, there's warning, and the danger can be if we're cutting down too many. Isn't that right?
Well, definitely. And I think this is a very good way to close our article because it gives us a sense of the warning that needs to come to people in this topic.
It's interesting that this profound interconnection between this musical tool, the plant, the ecology, the economy, whether we get money in or not, our society and our history and our orchestras and all that, it's all a sober lesson for conservation. How can that all be a sober lesson anyway for conservation?
Well, something that is sober is something that is very serious and it makes you think. So when we think about where the world is coming to and a lot of the resources are non-renewable, there are not very many renewable resources left. So as we use water and these things, then we have less of them in the world.
And as we've seen in our article today, all of these things are interconnected or they're all joined to one another. And so once you take away one thing, so we take away the Pernambuco tree, then other things are affected too.
So in response now, these boom makers, they're sounding the alarm. They say, we need these trees. And the future of this high art of making beautiful violin bows, it rests on the whole future of this endangered Brazilian tree. So you probably didn't know how connected that was. And by studying this for 2 or 3 days, I think it gives us more of a feeling of how urgent it is, how necessary it is to conserve.
It definitely is something we need to be concerned about. And also, I think it's just something good to be aware of overall, is that this is what is happening in our world.
And when we talk about conservation, we often talk about the three R's: reduce, reuse, and recycle.
Right. We have to practice the three R's, don't we? What are they again?
Reduce, reuse, and recycle.
So don't forget those. Now, if you are a traditional craftsman, let's read what it says here in the small little window here about the violin.
It says, fine bows are among the last few non-ornamental items in Western life produced by hand, not out of nostalgia, because that remains the best and fastest way to produce them. Boat makers work today very much as tort work, with tools and techniques passed from master to apprentice through the generations.
The apprenticeship is as arduous as the bow standards are rigorous, and only a relative handful of craftspeople ever become master work makers.
Now that's enough for you to study for yourself to see if you know what all those words mean. We're not going to go through that word by word, but we're going to mention this man, Tort, and what did he do?
Again, he was a famous bow maker. He was probably the best bow maker, and he revolutionized or he brought in new ideas to making bows.
And how did he learn his trade?
He learned his trade because he was an avid fisherman, and he also was an apprentice clockmaker.
So he learned it by being mentored by other people. And it says these tools and techniques have been passed on from master through apprentice for how long?
Oh, for years and years and years, even back all the way to Tort probably. And I found this really interesting that they're still making these by hand. Everything in today's world, it seems, is made in factories, in mass production now, but these bows are still made by hand.
Well, I just had somebody give me a little bowl that they brought from Mianden, from used to be called Burma. And they said this took 6 months to make, and I couldn't believe it. So parts of the world, they're still doing this kind of craft. Not very many places, right?
Well, definitely not very many. I think when we do get something that is handmade, we would say it is very valuable and something that needs to be treasured.
Right. And so the standards of this are rigorous. They're very strict. They're very difficult. And only a few people really ever become master makers. So if you know someone who makes this, they're one of the few people in the whole world. And you wouldn't think that there's just a few left, but that's the way it is.
Yeah, and as these plants are becoming more endangered, there will be even less plants available. But however, we learn that they do have a mission and people are raising funds to plant more of the Pernambuco plants. So hopefully if you want to, you can also contribute to this cause.
I wonder if they'll ever have schools to teach this. I doubt it. It's just passed on from master to master.
Well, it is a skill that I think is worthy of holding on to and teaching people. But I think the system they have now has served the trade very well because it keeps people notified and also trains very high-quality craftsmen.
So thanks for being with us as we've talked about saving the music tree. And we want to do all we can to conserve whatever it is. And let's do our part in keeping this world to be a beautiful world and a wonderful place to live in. Thanks for being with us today. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.